You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Moke Hamilton joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, a new proud papa. And always great to hear your voice and when you join us on the show, Moke. Thank you so much. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Easter Sunday to you and yours, Anita, as well as everybody out there listening in New York City and everywhere else they may be listening. Hope you guys are doing well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the Knicks. Again, at 500, 25 and 25 on the season so far. I did lay money on them not too long ago to make it to the postseason and as a playoff.
I did.
I mean, since the break, it's been a little topsy-turvy, right? But I still think I like the makeup of this team. I like what Thibodeau has done. Your thoughts on the Knicks and what you've seen since the break?
Yeah, I think it's a good bet. We spoke about this a few times. I think a few weeks ago we were talking about whether we like the Knicks to get in versus the Mavericks. And, you know, we were talking about it quite a bit. At this point, you know, I think I'm right. You know, I think I said I like their odds of getting in. And now, you know, you enter play on Easter Sunday, 25 and 25. You know, they have 22 games left. They're only out of the 11th seed by 5 games in the loss column. So a really bad stretch, and they could find themselves below 10th, which is very important because they're doing that play-in scenario this season, you know? Mm-hmm. But I will say that I think the month of April, I mean, I guess it's not really rocket science to say the month of April is going to kind of make or break them. But I look at, they have a 6-game homestand, you know, that's going to span from April 18th through the end of the month, April 28th. And then between now and then, they do have a couple of tough opponents coming up. So I think if they make it through the end of April and they're still at 500, at that point, I would say they're a shoo-in. But just based on what I've seen from them over the course of the season, you know, this is a tough team. You know, this is a team that no matter who they play, they're going to fight every night, and they're going to give themselves a chance to win every night. And I think going into Detroit and handling the Pistons the way that they did, coming off of that loss to the Mavericks and ending that 3-game losing streak, I think games and performances like that are indicative of the kind of spirit that a team has. And if you need any more evidence about who the Knicks were or how tough they are, I think last night is definitely a good indicator of that.
Again, Moke Hamilton join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's take a look at what's going on with the Nets. They take on the Bulls in just a few hours. 2:00 is tip-off. This is their first matchup against the Bulls this season. No KD, hoping that he's going to be back Monday against the Knicks. What a fun game that's going to be. And no Harden as well, still dealing with a hamstring issue. Again, both those guys, hopefully, fingers crossed, back tomorrow night against the Knicks in Brooklyn. What a game, like I said. That's must-watch television. But your thoughts on this Nets team so far? I mean, listen, you know, they've won 4 straight, even with 2 of their best players not being on the court. It's just ridiculous. I read a stat that all 3 of these guys have only played together in 6 games. I guess my question to you is, once KD is back, Harden's back, how long do you think it's going to take for them to gel, number one? And if they've won 4 straight, looking for 5 later on today against the Bulls, like, you know, just, I mean, how dominant, like, it's frightening to think just how dominant this team could be with all 3 of them, right, Moke? I mean, come on.
It's scary. The only word you can really use to describe it is scary. I mean, they're 20-3 over their last 23 games, if my math works. It's still early Sunday, okay? I haven't had coffee yet, but when I look and I do the numbers, I believe they're 20-3 in their last 23 games, which is really hard to believe. But I think what's scariest about it, Anita, is that these guys will probably fit together seamlessly on the offensive end of the floor. And part of the reason why I think that's because Kevin Durant, you know, for all that he is, he's so efficient. And the way that he was able to coexist with Steph Curry and share shot opportunities with Steph, but still always manage to get his, you know, sometimes you see this guy drop 38 points on 15 shots. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of guys in the NBA that can do that and can do it as often and easily as Kevin Durant. So I don't think Kevin Durant's going to have an issue gelling with anybody. And, you know, for all we say about Kyrie Irving and the criticism that we levy on him, we have to give him credit and props for being willing to be okay with the ball being in James Harden's hands. Because I think that everyone agrees that James Harden sees the ball, sees the floor a little better than Kyrie Irving, and he gets the ball to where it seems to need to go a little better than Kyrie Irving. I mean, if you're looking for a reason for me to tell you, oh, be careful, or, you know, maybe the Nets aren't going to be able to do it, then the only things I could really say are, number one, obviously, is health, right? And every time we look up, it seems like Durant's missing a few games for this reason. Kyrie's missing a few games here. Harden's missing a few games there. But it seems like even without two or three of those guys, maybe not three of them, but without one or two of those guys, they're still able to win games, you know? And now the thing with Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge, I think those guys might have a question of fit and where their opportunities are going to come. But I do also think each of them came to Brooklyn understanding what their roles would be. So the Nets are scary. It's the only word to really describe it. And at this point, I think you have to consider them, I don't want to say a lock, but a heavy, heavy favorite to end up coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Well, they're favored. They're favored to come out of the Eastern Conference. Heck, they're favored to win the championship right below the Lakers, who, by the way, are 31-18. They did win their last game, but obviously, as we know, not the same team. Understandably so, without LeBron and of course Anthony Davis. So, I want to get your thoughts on the national championship and see if you have a winner there before we let you go. But your thoughts on the Western Conference, you know, Utah, you know, they've won 9 straight. I mean, come on. 9-1 their last 10 games. 38-11, and they just all season long, they've just been so good, especially offensively. But your thought on the Lakers, you know, anticipating that both LeBron and AD are going to get healthy. We know that they're going to make it to the postseason, but obviously they're sitting at 4 right now. They continue to lose some games. They're going to be losing, that traction in regard to where the season will end and them having home court advantage. But nonetheless, your thoughts on how the Western Conference is panning out?
Yeah, I think as far as the Lakers are concerned, it's hard to see them winning the conference, to be honest with you, for me. And part of the reason why is just because I think that from a talent standpoint, I think they're at a bit of a deficit, especially being a year older now after winning the championship last season. I mean, Andre Drummond is obviously going to help them a bit. But, I mean, when I look at the Clippers, when I look at the Suns, when I look at the Jazz, when I look at the teams that are above them in the standings, you know, I kind of feel like the Clippers, if they don't have the same kind of meltdown like they did last year in the bubble, you know, you got to figure at some point they're going to be able to figure it out and get over the hump. And then in Phoenix, I mean, you know, Chris Paul's not really being talked about as an MVP candidate, I guess, because of his numbers. But, I mean, it's like anywhere you put this guy, if you give him even a couple of decent players from the local YMCA, that he's going to have these guys playing at the top of their game. So, I mean, Phoenix sitting there at number 2 in the Western Conference, you know, with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, I'm really interested in seeing how those guys look in a playoff series. I think the most troubling thing for the Lakers would be how the bracket stacks up for them specifically. So if the playoffs began today, they draw the Nuggets in the first round, which really would not be a great matchup for them, in my opinion. Even if they were able to beat them, then they'd have to see Utah in the second round. So if the Lakers can maybe get out of the 4th seed, get up to number 3 or number 2, I think it would kind of help them get a more favorable side of the bracket. But if they're there at number 4, then I'm really, really concerned for them. But yeah, I mean, the West has been great. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz are able to put together in the playoffs. And, you know, until then, we sit and we wait and we see who comes out of that really, really tough conference.
Again, Moak Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Moak, why don't you share with our listeners, how can they find you on social media, where your work is, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I am at Moak Hamilton on Twitter. It's like Mike, but with an O, for those of you that don't know. But how can you not know, right? Like, I mean, come on. You know, I'm here with the boss, Leite, almost every Sunday, so you guys are supposed to know who I am by now. You can also find my written material over at basketballnews.com. fairly new member of the staff over there, and we're doing some pretty exciting things. So thank you for the opportunity to give me the plug. I guess since you asked, it's not shameless since you asked, right, Anita?
No, not at all. Before we let you go, I'm sure you follow, obviously you cover the NBA in such depth and so good. NCAA, Baylor and Gonzaga tomorrow night, national championship. Do you have a play there? Who do you like?
I mean, hey, man, you know, sometimes teams just seem to have destiny on their side. And I know Gonzaga's had, you know, I mean, you can't even really call that a close call yesterday, right? But I got to go with Gonzaga, man. You know, like they've put together an incredible season, and it just seems like they're due. And, you know, I'm hoping that they're able to pull it out. I don't have any money riding on it, but for as long as Gonzaga's been one of the top programs in the country, I think they're due for this. And, you know, yesterday I think was probably indicative of that.
Great stuff as always, Moak. Always appreciate you when you join us on the weekend. Happy Easter to you and your beautiful new baby girl and your family. And God bless, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mia. You tell Mama Mimi I said, what's good?
She's texting me right now. I'm like, doesn't she know I work till noon? I will let her know. Moak, thank you so much.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.